Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Alpek's second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. With us this morning, we have Alpek Jose Valdez, CEO, Eduardo Escalante, CFO, and Hernan Lozano, Head of Investor Relations, who will discuss the company's performance and answer any questions that you might have. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and will be available on the company's website, www.alpek.com. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Lozano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome. We very much appreciate everyone's participation today. This call will be divided into two parts. First, Mr. Valdez, our CEO, and Mr. Escalante, our CFO, will provide a general overview of Alpek's second quarter 2016 performance and the outlook for the rest of the year. Afterwards, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we get started, let me remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. Alpek undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Valdez.
Thank you, Hernan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. The second quarter's $208 million EBITDA marks a record since our IPO. The latest results complemented a solid start this year and prompted a revision to our full-year guidance, which Eduardo will cover in the next section of the call. We are pleased to see both of our business segments delivering better than expected results, supported by a combination of positive drivers and an improving oil price environment. Although oil and feedstock prices have been a significant headwind over the last couple of years, they posted a favorable sequential recovery after the first quarter. The average price per barrel of Brent crude oil increased 24% since March, reaching $48 in June. Feedstocks such as paraxylene also followed this trend. This kind of price environment is particularly favorable for our polyester segment, which also benefited in the second quarter from gradual improvement in reference Asian PTA margins and incremental savings from strategic projects. Beginning in June, savings associated to MEG supply from the Huntsman-Tolin agreement complement the savings from the Cosolacaque Power Cogeneration Facility, enhancing polyester profitability. The plastics and chemical segment has played an even more important role in Alpek's better-than-expected 2016 results. The combination of a strong polypropylene upcycle and accretive expandable polystyrene acquisitions have resulted in record-high EBITDA generation the last two consecutive quarters. However, it is important to note that polypropylene EBITDA posted its first sequential decline in the last four quarters. Reference North American polypropylene margins apparently reached their peak in February and posted four consecutive monthly declines thereafter. Average first quarter North American margins were more than three times their historical level. And even though average second quarter margins were lower sequentially, they were still close to three times the historical level and slightly above our 2016 guidance. We believe that the spike in first quarter North American margins, coupled with low Asian prices, opened a temporary window for polypropylene imports into the U.S. However, the incentive for imports is being diminished by the latest trend in both North American margins and Asian prices. North American polypropylene inventories have increased year-to-date as a result of this dynamic and an unsustainable high domestic capacity utilization rate. Industry experts estimate pressure on margins will continue over the next 2 or 3 months as market conditions and inventories normalize. Having said that, we should not overlook the fact that 2016 is expected to be yet another record year for our polypropylene business, and that robust North American industry fundamentals support higher than historical margins in the foreseeable future. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Eduardo, who will discuss our financial results.
Thank you, Pepe, and good morning, everyone. Our second quarter results reflect a strong plastics and chemical segment performance year-on-year and solid sequential polyester results, supported by an improving oil and feedstock price environment. The average price per barrel of Brent crude oil was $46 in the second quarter, 25% below the same period last year, yet 33% higher than the first quarter and 21% above our $38 guidance. Similarly, feedstock prices were lower when compared to 2015, but increased versus the previous quarter. In this context, Alpek's second quarter consolidated revenue was down 11% year-on-year, but up 5% quarter-on-quarter, driven by a sequential average price improvement. The quarterly increase in feedstock prices also resulted in a $19 million non-cash inventory gain that benefited EBITDA. Second quarter consolidated EBITDA reached $208 million, up 7% year-on-year and 21% versus the previous quarter. Adjusting for inventory gains, Alpek's second quarter 2016 comparable consolidated EBITDA was $190 million, compared to $174 million in 2Q15 and $179 million in 1Q16. Comparable consolidated EBITDA posted both annual and sequential growth, but business segment performance varied over this period of time. In the case of polyester, second quarter comparable EBITDA was down 11% versus 2Q15 and up 13% compared to the previous quarter, reflecting in part oil and feedstock price movements during the last 12 months. However, the year-on-year decrease in comparable polyester was lower than expected as a favorable oil price recovery after the first quarter, incremental savings from our strategic projects, and gradual improvement in the reference Asian PTA margins partially offset the impact from this year's lower oil price environment. In contrast, second quarter comparable plastics and chemicals EBITDA increased 44% versus 2Q15 and was down 2% compared to the previous quarter. The year-on-year surge has been driven mainly by margin expansion and volume growth in both polypropylene and expandable polystyrene, whereas the sequential decrease reflects the latest polypropylene industry trend. Moving down on the P&L, Alpek's second quarter consolidated majority net income totaled $48 million, down 42% year-over-year, a sustained improvement in operating income was more than offset by non-cash foreign exchange losses recognized as a result of the recent Mexican pesos devaluation. Overall, consolidated majority net income for the first half of the year rose 11% relative to the same period in 2015, driven by 20% higher operating income. Regarding our balance sheet and certain cash flow items, net debt was $910 million, up 16% year-over-year. Our net leverage ratio stands at 1.3 times, supported by a strong EBITDA generation. On an absolute basis, net debt has increased $189 million year-to-date, which is largely in line with our beginning of the year estimations. Accumulated dividends reach $205 million, including a scheduled second quarter 2016 dividends from Polioles to its JV partners, Alpek and BASF, following last year's sales sale of Polyolefins, polyurethane, and EPS businesses. The dividend paid by Polyolefins is offset by the payments the company has received this year. Year-to-date taxes include approximately $45 million in one-time payments related to the previous fiscal year and to the sale of Polyolefins, expandable polystyrene, and polyurethane businesses. Net working capital is one of the few line items that has been higher than we had anticipated. The increase was mainly driven by our polyester and EPS businesses during the first quarter. Investment in net working capital decreased significantly on a sequential basis and is expected to turn positive during the second half of the year following our normal business cycle. CapEx reached $142 million at the end of the second quarter, 24% higher than the first half of 2015. The majority of these funds have been invested in the Corpus Christi Integrated PTA-PET site, the Altamira Cogeneration Plant, the final payment of the Huntsman MEG tolling agreement, and the fiber expansion at the Pearl River site. Progress is ongoing in all the projects of our strategic CapEx program. I would like to wrap up the call with a few comments on this morning's announcement regarding guidance. We increase our 2016 EBITDA guidance by 11% to $700 million, based on better than expected year-to-date results and our view going forward. Compared to the first half of 2016, this new figure implies a $60 million decrease in the second half of the year. The increase in 2016 average Brent oil price to $45 and a contraction of propylene and EPS margins during the second half of the year are among the most important drivers behind our revision. This concludes my remarks. And now, I would like to open the call for questions. Operator, please instruct the participants on how to place their questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take our first question from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the time. I wanted to ask you about the guidance that you just announced. If you can provide details on the contribution of each chain in the consolidated EBITDA guidance, please.
Sure, Vanessa. Thank you for your question. As mentioned, the EBITDA guidance for the year, the new guidance is $700 million. We do expect the polyester segment to grow a little bit during the second half of the year. However, considering what we mentioned about polypropylene and EPS margins, we do expect the plastics and chemicals division to be about 35% lower for the second half of the year versus the first half. In the case of polyester, I didn't mention it, but we expect the polyester results during the second half to be between 5 and 7% higher than the first half.
Okay, that's great. And can you provide some details on the MEG project with Huntsman on the capacity utilization that you're running right now and any if you can quantify the contribution so far? Thanks.
Yes, well, Vanessa, we started in full capacity in June this year, last month, and we estimate the contribution of this project to be in terms of EBITDA, somewhere between $12 and $15 million a year, depending, again, on the prices of MEG and prices of ethylene. But that's the range of estimates we have. So that will tell you, I mean, somewhere between, let's say, $1 and $1.5 million per month.
Okay, great, Pepe. Thank you. Thank you, Eduardo.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Diego Mendez with Itaú.
Yes, good morning, guys. So my question is regarding the prices of polypropylene. So as you mentioned, like we saw a significant reduction in the spread between the polypropylene and propylene. So my main point here is, what do you think is the normalized level of this margin that we should see after this, let's say, this 3 months that you mentioned that the margin should be under pressure? Because what we hear from the industry is that there is the demand in North America will continue very strong, and we are going to have an oversupply of propylene in let's say, now and in the future, which will allow the margins to remain strong somewhere around $600 per ton. So can we assume that the margins will come back to those levels, or do you think that it's too strong, at least for steel 2016? And also the second question on the synergies from the ETS acquisitions that you made, if you could tell us a little bit how much these new acquisitions contributed in terms of EBITDA and what are the synergies expected. Thank you.
Okay, with regards to polypropylene margins, as you mentioned, we expect the third quarter to be particularly, in relative terms, difficult in terms of margins because we do have a lag in our contracts in Mexico. We have a month lag normally, so we already know the margins that we're going to have for July and for August. But as I explained, these imports, there was a surge in imports at the end of the first quarter as a result of very high margins in February. I would say February, March. The margins and the net margins reached almost $700 per ton in February. So there was a strong response from Asia in terms of volumes. That inventory is or those shipments have arrived already in last month for the most part, May, June, but the inventory is still very high in North America. Is being reduced gradually, and we believe it might take an additional couple of months for the inventory to normalize. But in the meantime, spot prices of polypropylene in North America are even lower today than the Asian prices. So there is no the arbitrage window is closed now, and we don't expect more imports to come into North America. But the next two, I would say the third quarter margins will probably be somewhere between 20 and 18 cents per pound. In that, more or less in that range. From that, from let's say October onwards, we do expect a recovery in margins as a result of capacity utilization or demand being very strong and capacity utilization being very high. We estimate capacity utilization in the 92-93% range. So we do believe we'll have a recovery in the fourth quarter. And going forward, again, another important change has been very recently, as of last month, polypropylene margins in Asia also increased. And based on that, and assuming polypropylene margins in Asia remain at the existing level, we do believe that margin range somewhere between, I would say, 2 to 27 cents per pound would be our estimation. Okay. Again, you can do the math, but that's a little bit below your 600 figure, the 600 number that you mentioned. But you know, it's it will be very much in line with our original budget this year. In our original budget, we were estimating 25 cents per pound, and as I mentioned, we believe the equilibrium price after this inventory is worked out will probably be somewhere between 22 27. So in that range. So it will be somewhere between 500, 600. That's what we more or less expect. But again, there's no guarantee. I mean, that the fact is that, and this is also relevant, polypropylene prices today in North America, contract prices, I'm talking, not a spot, are in the low 50s. So we are even below polyethylene prices, which is very unusual. So again, that should you know, also you know, imply higher demand. So some substitution might take place. And again, that's why we're saying we are you know, relatively optimistic in terms of the margins compared to where they are today. But it's going to take a couple, 2 or 3 months to work out this excess inventory in the industry.
Okay.
Hello, Diego. Let me take your second question regarding the synergies, the EPS synergies. We have been operating the new EPS businesses that we acquired from BASF for the last 15 months. We took over in April 1st of last year. And we were fortunate that in this period, we have had a very positive margins for EPS in North America, given or driven by a starting price spreads between Asia and North America. North America has been significantly lower in terms of the raw material costs versus Asian costs. So we have been fortunate to have a very positive margins in our businesses and capture those margins, those expanded margins since the acquisition. All in all, the net effect of the EPS results in our year-to-date results is about $12 million in the year-to-date EBITDA. Of course, you have to consider that we are comparing two quarters this year versus only the second quarter of the previous year. But I think we have been able to capture the market opportunity as well as the synergies between the operations in the different countries, and we do expect for the remaining of the year to continue with very high operating rates, even though we do expect those margins to come down a little bit in the remaining of the year of this year and come to normal levels.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We will now hear from Felipe Santos with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just the first one is a confirmation. You mentioned passing chemicals will go down 35% versus first half and 7% the plastic would be going up 7% comparing, so we would reach the $700 million. Is this correct?
Yes, that is correct, Felipe.
Okay. And getting on with the detail of the guidance again, of this this main drop, I understood that the PP is the main reason, and EPS is kind of holding still and driving these changes here. But it's yet a lot volatile. So all in all, would you think that this guidance would be conservative? or more realistic?
It is true. The same. The main reason of the decrease in plastics and chemicals is polypropylene, the polypropylene margins. And as Pepe explained before, we are taking into consideration the industry view for the rest of the year. As he mentioned, we don't have a complete assurance of what the margins are going to be during the second half. So we really have not a good visibility, especially towards the end of the year.
I see. So the main consideration here is that we're going to see a decrease in margins in the third quarter, but fourth quarter is yet unknown.
Yes, we are as Pepe mentioned, expecting a little bit of rebound towards the end of the year in the last quarter. But still, I would say there is a significant uncertainty regarding those margins, especially the last few months, the last months of the year.
Okay. That's perfect. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Aiden Rodriguez with GBM.
Hello, Jose, Eduardo, and Hernan. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to see if you could give us a little bit more information regarding how the anti-dumping duties imposed on some pet importers in the U.S. have positively affected the polyester division, and will these strengthen during the second half of the year?
Well, certainly, Adan. I think for sure the anti-dumping in the U.S. has helped at least to remove imports from China, which were the ones that were of biggest concern to us, that were growing very rapidly. So there are very little imports from China now, very little imports from India. And to some extent also, I mean, practically also, Canada has dried up and still some imports from Oman. What we have seen, however, in this last quarter or the first half of the year, is imports from other countries. We've seen imports from Taiwan and from Brazil. I would say those two countries are the ones that have increased their imports to a higher extent. But those imports are coming at different price points than the imports that were coming from China and the other pest producers, a little bit higher. And also, I believe these imports are also a result of very, you know, actually, when you look at the margins, PET and PTA margins in Asia, the first quarter, 16, was one of the lowest, you know, margins in Asia. 15 was margins in Asia in 15, PET margins, including PTA, were around 217, 215, let's say, during 15. In first quarter of 16, the margins in Asia were close to $200. So it's the lowest number we've seen as in terms of, you know, as a quarter, as a complete quarter. And together with that, the freight rates have also been very, very, very low in the last month. So a little bit of the good news is that second quarter 16, there is some recovery in the margins in Asia. For a couple of months, they were getting close to 230. And together with that, and also very important, there has been a significant rebound in the freight, you know, also from Asia to America. So we do believe that this will also help us mitigate the issue of the imports in North America. But to your question, I do believe we have capitalized or captured some of the value of the anti-dumping But I do believe there's still more value to capture, particularly if the margins in Asia continue to go up in the next quarters. So there is still potential for the results in polyester results to improve based on the, again, on the expectation of increase in margins in Asia.
Thank you. That helps. And an additional question. Given your sound financial position and guidance update, is it possible you announce a new project or a new acquisition or maybe even a dividend increase by year end?
Yeah, it is possible that we will announce new projects or new acquisitions by year end. Yes, it is possible.
And can you give us maybe a little bit more color into what kind of
that, that is too much. That is too much to ask.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star 1 at this time for any questions. With no questions in the queue, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Lozano for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. I would just like to thank everyone for participating in today's call. And please feel free to contact us if you have any follow-up questions or comments. Have a nice day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us.